Dermot Bulger, I'm a poet and playwright, and I'm the author of Walking the Road.
Hi, I'm Peter Hanley. I'm an actor. I'll be playing Francis Ledwidge in Dermot Bulger's Walking the Road.
I'm Sam McGovern, and I'm an actor, and I'm playing Joe in Walking the Road.
When I was 15 years of age, I wanted to be a poet and famous, but I had no notion of poetry or who poets were. I read a book about Francis Ledwidge, and he described writing his first poem in Rathfarnham as a grocer's apprentice, and he walked home through the night 42 miles to Slane, and he stopped at a milestone. There were milestones everywhere along the road. Very close where I lived in Finglas, there was one of these milestones still existed. It said, Dublin 3 miles, Slane 27. I would go there at night and I would actually think that Ledwidge had actually, as uncertain as I was at the age of 15, had sat on that same milestone in the middle of the night with one poem written and wondered what his future held. And I felt a strange affinity. We're both from working class backgrounds, but even though he was from the country, even though there's 100 years between us, I sort of felt at that moment that I had a link with this uncertain young man, the same age as myself, on the same sort of journey as I was on.
When I got the text, and it was an email attachment, so I waited till I had a quiet house and I read it, and I read quite slowly to absorb it properly. And I found it, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say, I wasn't ever as moved by any radio play recently, shall we say, that I've done, particularly the end, if I'm allowed to say, where there's this kind of a roll call of Dublin men and Meath men who in a sense have travelled on a journey, and the play is, I suppose, lots of different journeys, metaphorical and literal, that Dermot has embroidered into his piece. And I found the end really moving. That really kind of crept up in me. There's a line about a father and his son, his namesake. So his son shared his name and they shared the same fate. They died in the trenches.
As a teenager sitting at that milestone, I said, one day I will walk out, I'll make that pilgrimage, which is what the play is about, this walk, this lane. I actually hitchhiked, because 27 miles is a long way, even when you're young. And I arrived in Slane towards dusk, and I knew his cottage. I didn't know if it still existed. It's now a beautiful museum, but I walked out the Drogheda Road, and I paused at every house and looked in to see was it there. And then I heard a noise, and I saw a blue light, and a squad car pulled up. And the local Garda sergeant arrested me on suspicion of being a burglar because I was looking at all these houses, and I said, no, I'm a pilgrim. And he said, recite a poem, so. So I recited Tomás McDonagh and A Little Boy in the Morning while he had one hand pinned behind my back. He was a wonderful man called the late Jim Clark. And he said, no, you actually really are a pilgrim. And he directed me up a few hundred yards, and there was a ruined cottage there, an empty cottage, and himself and a number of other people, Pearl Baxter and various other people, local people, were getting together to remember Ledwidge. He was forgotten in those days, and they turned that cottage into a museum. And I stood outside that cottage, and I knocked at the house next door to check it was the right cottage. A wonderful artist called Liam O'Vin lived there, and he gave me a bed for the night, and his paintings were inspired by Ledwidge, and I slept in the attic looking at this ruined cottage. And I said, I wonder if one day I will ever see the grave where Francis Ledwidge was actually buried in Flanders. And because life is very, very strange, years later I stood in Flanders in the very, very spot where Ledwidge was killed by a stray shell, and with Ledwidge's nephew Joseph, I unveiled a monument to him in the spot where he was killed. So, you know, and throughout my life, Ledwidge has been intertwined with my life, and I don't really see him as a war poet. I see him as a working class urban poet who's finding his own voice, and he died before he ever truly found his own voice, but had a lyric genius.
We were trying to decide earlier which of the of the state exam courses his work might have been on. Just last night I was reading his first published book, Songs of the Field, and it was the only book of his poetry that he lived to see published.
Well, I very much came to Francis Ledwidge fresh with this script because I suppose of my generation, I don't want to speak entirely for my generation, but I would have encountered in school Siegfried Sassoon and Wilfred Owen. That was really the extent of the sort of the war poets, which is sad because many obviously fall by the wayside and there were many more. So I suppose what first attracted me to the piece, reading it, was the whole transient nature of it, the kind of purgatorial feel of what is walking the road and, you know, sort of all the dead voices, as it were, coming back. And I think it's really important. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, is a poet and wrote about his late great uncle, I think, who was in the Royal Dublin Fusiliers, and really sort of got across, you know, the forgotten nature of Ireland's involvement in this and the stigma that was attached. You know, England's difficulty is Ireland's opportunity.
When people discuss Ledwich, invariably this question comes up of why did he join the British Army? And it never interested me as a writer, because having been in Ypres, you see people from Canada, people from New Zealand, people from all over the world. It was a huge international conflict. And why you say Tom Barry, who was later in the IRA, why Emmett Dalton, who was in Mark Collins when he died, why Francis Ledwich, why all these men joined the British Army, they were caught up in that global conflict for thousands of reasons. There were workers who were locked out still after 1914, raising three cheers for Jim Larkin in the trenches. There were people like Dunsany who felt a loyalty to those countries. I was never interested in having to defend Ledwich's joining the army. Loads of people did. And in the play, when he walks home with all those forgotten men from Finglas and from Terranure and from Santry and from Slane. And so I wanted to make the play not just about him, and certainly not about this whole decision to join the army, but about all those ghosts of all those men. And, you know, I wouldn't even commemorate the Great War, as it was called. It marks it, but it was a horrific slaughter. And if you were Irish, you had a 1 in 8 more chance of being shot for desertion. And there is a young lad from Finglas in the play who's killed because he's 17. He goes walk, but he gets confused. It was a horrific conflict. Irish people found themselves sucked into it. And I'm more interested in Ledwich as a person, in the totality of his life. And that's what interests me in the play. And then in making him an everyman figure to represent all those people, all those persuasions of all those ages who, from economic necessity or from loyalty or devotion to friends or from mischief or sense of adventure, wound up in this conflict that none of them could conceive the horror of it in advance.
Working on this play, Walking the Road by Dermot Bulger, and experiencing the centenary of the First World War, you realise how you're connected with the past. You're connected through your parents. My dad was 95 this year. So he was born in 1919. He was born in the British Empire, essentially. And his father, my grandfather, was at Charles Stewart Parnell's funeral. It's only one and then two generations ago.
In 1992, I edited a select of poems by Francis Ledwich, and Seamus Heaney very kindly wrote an introduction. Around that time, an old man walked into the graveyard in Flanders where Ledwich lies and inscribed a poem into the visitor's book. And the caretaker walked after him and said, "This poem is by an F.E. Ledwich. We have an F.E. Ledwich in a grave here." And he said, "My father was in the trenches with him and gave him a poem, a handwritten poem, and I want to give the poem back to him before I die." And through this, the In Flanders Fields Museum discovered that Flanders never knew that there was a poet called Francis Ledwich. And in London, Pete Sheelans of the In Flanders Fields Museum found this edition of the Select of Poems of Francis Ledwich, now called the Ledwich Treasury, which I edited and was shamelessly introduced. And through that, he traced the exact spot where Ledwich was actually killed by a stray shell. And the local people in the local village have an event every year where they pick one soldier from either side, from not regardless of rank, and they try to understand and honour him. They try to make sense of all these graves by looking at one grave, and they picked Francis Ledwich, and I was delighted to come over. There was no military presence, no British Army presence, no nothing like that. It was just people trying to understand how this farm labourer, in the middle of this agricultural field that he now lay in, came to be there.
I suppose the most cited example in my own life and family would be my great-grand-aunt on my father's side was Kitty Kiernan, who was engaged to Michael Collins. And we've recently just gone through our family records and we found a brilliant photograph of my great-grandparents' wedding, Paul McGovern and Helen Kiernan. And in the background is a very sullen-looking Michael Collins with a moustache, looking down solemnly, who had the previous night begged my great-grandmother not to marry Paul, but to marry him instead. And it's very interesting because his job was to be an excellent judge of character. And I think in the sidelines, there everyone is sort of looking to the camera except him. Collins is looking down. And there is Helen's sister, Kitty, looking over towards this quite handsome man. They would go on to be engaged, but sadly not to be married. So how very, very different things might have been in my generation, my family life, and also in our nation's history. So
I think Ledwich has a wonderful lyric gift, and I think those latter poems, like A Little Boy in the Morning, are very, very beautiful. The Tomás McDonagh poem are very, very beautiful. I think what fascinates people about him is that it's like an iceberg. We only saw the tip of him. Maybe after the war, he would have vanished into obscurity. Maybe he would have become a very, very great poet. Certainly, he was a better poet at 29 than Yeats probably was, but he had never found his own voice. He was trapped into the school of Georgian poetry. It's interesting, he's not really a war poet. The war features very, very little in his work, but I felt that there was another Francis Ledwich that would have come out from that war, the man who was a farm labourer, the man who was a road worker, the man who was a trade union activist in a flooded copper mine leading a strike, that there was a whole other world that he was just on the verge of telling us about that he never got to tell. So what fascinates and haunts about Ledwich are the poems he wrote, but also the poems that he never got to write, the poems that we can only envisage in our imaginations.